Chapter 1. Supermarket. What happened here? Andy asked.
When I left, it was empty, Zack replied, pointing to the supermarket in front of them.
Are you sure? Wendy asked.
I'm positive. Something is wrong here.
They watched as people of different sizes walked in and out. Each one was carrying a familiar square box, the same ones Andy and Zack saw everywhere in the future.
I thought we destroyed them recently, Andy said.
We're not in Trinity anymore, little bro, Zack said.
I think we are. Andy pointed to a sign in front of them. It read, Trinity, New York.
That was not there when I left, Zack said.
Maybe it was put up during those 4 missing hours, Andy said.
That's impossible. A sign takes years to plan and raise money for.
You're right. How weird.
It might be best if we went to the store. We might get some answers, Wendy said.
Good idea, Wendy, Zack said as he took her hand in his. Andy noticed a large smile appear on Wendy's face. They both walked forward, not even looking back for a minute at Andy. Andy frowned as he followed. Entering the store was a big surprise for everyone. It had been closed for 3 years. Inside, they found several aisles full of food. It had everything an individual needed. It kind of reminded them of a massive Walmart. There were 3 floors full of goods. Many of the products were Court brand, but most of them were normal goods found in any large supermarket. Wendy approached a clerk and asked,
Excuse me, sir, how long has this store been here?
You must be new in town. We've been here 13 years now, he said.
Thank you.
Are you looking for anything in particular?
Just looking around. Thanks again.
Wendy walked back to the boys.
They've been here 13 years, she said.
Wow, that's older than I am, Andy said.
Let's look around a bit, Zack suggested.
Inside was like a maze. The party even noticed golf carts moving around, carrying goods and people.
I've never seen a store like this one, Zack admitted.
It's so cool, Andy added.
We must be aware of our surroundings, Wendy said.
What can we do without any magic or weapons? Andy asked.
I highly doubt anyone will attack us. It's a store, not a war zone, Zack said.
I agree. We came from a war zone, but here seems to be very peaceful and quiet, Wendy said.
The children continued to walk around, looking for something they could buy. Strangely enough, there seemed to be no weapons for sale, only other goods.
It is way too quiet, in my view, Andy said.
We'll be very observant, just in case, Zack said as he took Wendy's hand again.
I learned not to trust silence, Wendy said.
We should be on guard, Andy added.
They tiptoed into the hallways. Huge shelves of goods were everywhere. If only Andy could remember his flying ability he learned of in the future. He could not understand how some of the goods could not be reached by a person, maybe by a giant. That gave him the chills. Could this new world have monsters in it? The party started to move even quieter now, looking in all directions. They saw many goods, some they did not even recognize. The products were a mix of tech, food, and other goods. Andy thought back to the last time he remembered that store open. Back then, it only sold food. It also was not as massive. The store was now the size of 100 football fields and had 3 floors in it. The items were piled from wall to wall. Goods filled every bit of space except the hallways, which were clean and open, so customers could move freely around. It was amazing what could be found here.
Do you think we could buy weapons somewhere here? Wendy asked.
I truly doubt it, honey, Zack said.
He took out a paper and showed it to her and Andy. 3 years ago, a massive shooting took place that killed 1,000 people in one night. It caused Washington, D.C. to ban all weapons and overwrite the Second Amendment. Since that time, our country has become a more peaceful nation.
Hold on a minute. Where did you find this?
Andy pointed at the paper.
Little bro, it was in the book section of the store.
When did you get to stop by there?
Andy asked.
We passed by it just 10 minutes ago, Zach said. I thought it wouldn't hurt to learn a bit of history of the new planet.
Did you learn anything else, Zach?
Wendy asked with concern.
The moment she said it, 3 darts just missed the party's heads.
I thought weapons were banned, Andy screamed. It means there must be a black market for them somewhere,
Wendy said, as 3 more darts missed them again.
Let's run now and take the book with you, Andy called out.
The party took off fast, running back to the place they entered. Darts were flying everywhere, damaging all kinds of goods, which melted as they were hit.
It looks like we must be wanted criminals, Zach said. It's not funny, bro, Andy added.
After 10 minutes of running, they found themselves outside the store. Something very strange was going on this new Earth. They just had to know what it was. After catching their breath just outside the store, the 3 of them sat on a bench not too far away. They finally found peace again.
What was that about?
Wendy asked.
I'm almost certain we are wanted criminals, Andy implied.
How could that be? We must have done something in the future to change the past, Zach suggested.
How is that possible? The future did not even happen yet, Andy said.
I have a feeling time really doesn't exist, Zach said.
It's possible, Wendy added.
It reminded Andy of the dark world he had been in. It was there that time had no meaning.
Guys, I have a feeling what happened here is my fault, he said.
Why do you say that?
It all started back in your home world, Wendy. To save one of the sages, I had to enter a dark world, and it was there that Zoe vanished. I believe that what we see in the present was caused by that event.
You know how dangerous the dark world is, Wendy said.
I certainly do. I think that dark world has appeared here on our Earth and changed everything that we loved, Andy said.
Oh, little brother, what will I do with you?
I think it might be best for us to get home. It might be the only place that is safe now, Andy suggested.
No. The dark world likes to be in one area. It is not in a whole world, but only part of one, Wendy said.
It made lots of sense to Andy. He remembered being in one area when he visited Dark World.
It only appears when it's safe. I have a feeling Dark World is only underground or on court territory, Wendy said.
It made sense to them. That supermarket was court territory, and they were attacked only there, not outside.
Let's check our house and read more from this book. Zach showed everyone a large book with the title, Laws of This Land.
That might give us many answers, Wendy added.
Let's go.
Andy went forward.
Chapter 2. Home. Strangely enough, most of the streets had remained the same, and the trio found the home easily. It was when they got closer that they noticed it was empty. The front door was wide open, and when they entered, the table was set up for a meal. It was like something happened, fast. Their parents were just taken by someone. There was scattered furniture and garbage in the living room, and it smelled like fresh dirt.
Mom? Dad? Buddy? Andy called out.
There was no answer. There seemed to be signs of struggle everywhere. Blood stains covered the walls, and in a few areas, the familiar gray dust covered the floor. Zach understood. Court was still alive and active here. All the work he, Wendy, John, and his brother had done meant nothing now. At least he had the 2 people he loved most next to him. They would have to work together to save their planet, too. Zach hoped the book he picked up would give them some answers.
Let's check the house out, Wendy suggested.
Good idea, Wendy, Andy said. After a full house sweep, they found it was empty.
What has happened to this world? Andy wondered.
How could they do anything without weapons or skills?
it would have been much easier for them earlier. It made lots of sense after all they had been through. I guess nothing came easy for them. Wendy locked the front door. It amazed the children that the bathroom still worked in the house. While searching the home, Andy found some strange markings on the walls. Deep in his subconscious mind, he thought it was magic protecting them. He couldn't explain why his dog and parents were missing. The kids did find a large meatloaf in the oven, perfectly browned. This would be a treat for them. It had been so long since they had enjoyed Mom's cooking. Near the meatloaf, Zach found a short, scribbled note. "Dear darlings, our magic protection has been cracked somehow. You must fix it to be safe again." It ended with a picture of a sign and was stained in blood. "Why does your mom mention magic?" Wendy asked. "I have no idea. We never had magic in this world," Zach said. "It is very odd, isn't it?" Andy was puzzled. "Let's look around the house more," Zach suggested. "I noticed some drawings in the basement," Andy said. "That might be it," Wendy said. "Let's hurry downstairs." "Do not forget the letter," Wendy said. "I have it." Andy waved it in the air. The party moved to the basement, and there they saw them. 6 circles, attached, drawn in red, on the wall. 3 of them had strange writing on them, and the others did not. Looking at the letter in his hands, Andy saw more writing that seemed to fit into the other circles. "Do you think this is it?" Andy pointed at the wall. "It's worth a try. The pictures seem to match," Wendy said. Andy looked around the basement and saw a red pen just a few feet away. "Grab that for me, Zach," Andy said. Zach walked over and brought the pen back to his brother. "You are the sage here," Wendy said. Andy took a few deep breaths and closed his eyes. A distant hot feeling came to his body. He still had a spark of magic inside him. The image on the paper started floating above his head. Shapes changed, and writings moved around. They formed brand new words. After opening his eyes, Andy filled in the empty circles on the wall with them. After he was done, the whole basement lit up in a golden light that moved up and covered the whole house. "Amazing, little brother. You still have it in you," Zach said. Andy smiled at his brother and went upstairs. Once again, the protection magic came back. It meant 2 things for Andy. He still had magic left, and they had a safe zone now. Soon, everyone was sitting at the kitchen table and eating the meatloaf. It had been a while since they had a good meal. "What do we do now?" Wendy asked. "I guess we'll read the book." Zach placed the book on the table and opened it to a list. "I think this will cover all the changes here in a nutshell," Zach said. The main changes were no guns, no subways, and no underground activities. The party did not understand what was going on here, but they hoped to discover for themselves. "I think we should explore New York," Andy suggested. "What is that?" Wendy asked. "It is one of our largest cities," Zach said. "It's a good place to start," Andy said. "How can we get there, and do we have money to do so?" Wendy asked. "I'll be right back. Mom has an emergency fund," Andy stated. "How do you know that?" Zach asked. "I just do. Mom was always scared to tell you about it, Zach." With those words, Andy disappeared. He got back 5 minutes later, carrying a fistful of cash. "This should be enough for us," he said with a smile. It was a huge surprise for both Zach and Wendy. "Once again, you are a lifesaver," Wendy said. Right before they left the house, the party felt warmth hit them. They hoped it was magic protection. Chapter 3. New York. Outside the house, a strong pull was coming from somewhere. The party was not sure what it was, but it felt very safe and comfortable for them. "I wonder if the magic protection came with us," Wendy said. "It does seem that way," Andy replied. "I think it's very possible," Zack agreed. As they walked down the street away from their home, the pull got stronger. Eventually, they all adjusted, and the pull became a part of them. It was easier to move now, and what they needed to do was find a way to get to New York City. It was a 40-minute ride.
I wish we had that transport we used back in my home, Wendy said.
It would be very helpful, but I believe we'll need to call a cab this time, Zack said.
Darling, what is a cab?
It's like a car, with a driver, Zack explained.
Okay,
Wendy said, still confused by what Zack meant. Amazingly, one of the items Andy brought was a fully charged iPhone. Mom was always the kind of lady who prepared for everything under the sun. Andy remembered that she used to say, "We can never be overprepared in this world." It was her way of thinking that saved the kids. Andy was surprised that the iPhone still existed here. It even looked the same. In general, the technology had changed a bit more than expected, but at least some classics were still around. Andy learned to use the iPhone 4 years ago, when he got one as a gift from his parents. He turned it on normally, and thank goodness there was no password. He got into Google and searched for taxicabs. A list of about 15 in the area came up. One of those looked awfully familiar. It was called Trinity Cabs. He remembered they used that company a few times back in his real home. When he dialed the phone number, a familiar voice answered. It was great to hear someone he knew.
Hello, Andy,
the voice said.
How are your parents?
They're working hard, Greg.
Nice to hear. How can I help you, Andy?
We need a cab to New York.
How will you pay for that cab?
Greg asked. It would be cash.
Excellent. Your mom told me that you would call for a cab, and I got her permission to get one for you,
Greg said. Okay. It will be me, Zack, and a friend.
I'll dispatch a cab there in 5 minutes.
Wonderful. Take care, Greg.
You too, young man.
With those words, the phone was put down. Mom and Dad must have vanished recently, Andy said.
Why do you say that? Zack asked.
Mom gave permission for Greg to send a cab to drive us.
It's our Greg? Dad's good friend? Zack asked, surprised.
Amazingly, it is. Just talk to him, Andy said.
Something is way weird here, Wendy said.
I agree. We will have all our senses ready, Zack said.
10 minutes later, a cab pulled into the driveway. In big red letters was written, Trinity Cabs, with a phone number on the back and front. A tall man came out and held the door open for the children. They got in, and off they went. They arrived at the New York City Public Library in 45 minutes, with little traffic.
This is where your mom told Greg to drop you off, the driver said.
Thanks, sir. How much? Andy asked.
You got a 50% discount, so $30, please, the driver said.
Andy smiled and handed the man $40.
Thank you, Andy. Please say hello to your mom and dad for me.
I will, Andy said. The driver handed Andy a card with a cell phone number.
If you need me, just call.
After the children got out, the taxi drove off.
Wow, what a deal, Zack said.
It's something Dad would do for us, Andy said.
Yes, in our world too, Zack said.
Soon the children entered the New York Public Library. The brothers recognized the large ceilings and the hard stone walls. The same lions guarded the entrance, and the floor was wood. Most of the library seemed the same, except one new section the kids noticed. It was on the first floor. That section had about 30 large computers and shelves full of history books. They looked around and noticed only 5 open computers that did not even require library cards to access. In large black letters were the words, Thanks to Court Corp.
Something is very fishy, Wendy admitted.
I agree.
Why would Court give free computers? Zack asked.
It is very strange, Andy added.
I say let's check them out. We might learn something. Wendy went over to one. The children joined her. It was engraved in wood and had red letters that spelled court. The first thing they saw was a login. That's the catch, Zach assumed. Court forces you to put in your information, and they can track you and arrest you if needed.
Definitely something they would do, Wendy said.
I say we take a look at the history books over there. We don't need to put in detailed information, Andy said. Good idea, bro. They moved away from the computers and walked over to the bookshelves. The books were in order by year from 1990 to 2000. Nearby was a table where they were able to sit at. What year should we look at? Zach asked.
Let's look at 1992, a good place to start, Wendy suggested.
Zach took the book from the shelves and found a section on Trinity and court. It read, "A falling star fell, hitting the dirt. Scientists did not know what it was. They found a large burn mark in the grass, but the item was missing. People of Trinity never solved the riddle."
That's interesting, Wendy said.
It seems it all started back then, Andy suggested. Do you think Court was involved? Zach asked.
From what I learned as a resistance leader, most likely they were, Wendy said.
Yes, they always had their nose in the bacon, Zach said.
It must be connected to all these changes, Andy said.
How do we get there without a time machine? Zach asked.
I guess we need to do more research first and solve the problem.
This is the best place to start, Wendy said. The children continued to dig up what they could. People came in and out, and the cycle continued. The party sat at the same table. With the three of them, they were able to go through an enormous amount of history books. Before they knew it, a voice said over the loudspeaker,
"Thank you all for your business, but the library has to close in 30 minutes. If you have any books to take out, please come to the front."
The voice went silent. Zach said, "That's very odd. I don't remember a loudspeaker in our old library."
"From what I understand from the books," Wendy said, "your world had a huge technology burst in 1992, and the people were not ready."
"Yes. All seemed to take place after the thing fell from the sky," Andy said.
"I think we've learned enough, but I just have one unanswered question," Zach said.
"What happened to our train and subway system?"
Suddenly, they heard a speeding train outside. The children ran out of the building, and they saw it, a track in the sky. Large brick stairs engulfed in tropical plants, growing in several colors. They climbed it.
"Wow, I guess it's our train," Wendy said. The children could not believe they missed it on the way over. It proved the theory they just learned about.
"Should we go home?" Zach asked.
"We should find out if the train stops there," Andy said.
"That's a great idea."
The children climbed the stairs and found an information booth just at the end of them. A lady with large spectacles looked at the children.
"How can I help you, children?" she asked with a large smile.
"Miss, does the train stop in Trinity?" Wendy asked.
"Yes, young lady, it does."
3 one-way tickets, please."
"How will you pay that? Cash, fingerprint, or credit?"
Wendy gave a strange look toward Zach, who just moved his head up and down.
"Cash," Wendy said.
"Okay,
$15, the lady said.
Andy handed her a $10 and a $5 bill.
"Thank you, young man."
She gave them 3 tickets. On one of them was written, "Station number 2 to 6. The tickets were like the ones Andy used in the past.
"You will find your train on Air Tunnel 2. It leaves in 15 minutes. Thank you for riding Air Train."
The children walked past her and looked around. It looked like a regular train station with a few changes. First, they noticed several machines with pictures of food and other stuff. Second, they saw huge plasma screens hanging everywhere. Commercials flashed at them all the time. Finally, they noticed people everywhere. It must have been rush hour. They found Air Tunnel 2 easily. It was a tube with the number 2 on it. In front, digital letters flashed. Station stops: Grand Central, 125th Street, Fort Smith, The Gardens, Area 1, Area 2, Area 3, Trinity, Area 4, Section 1, Brookville, Section 2, and The End. The children could not believe what they saw. It was a commercial and digital world combined with a plant world. The plants were scattered everywhere. They were all kinds of colors and sizes. Their exotic smell was everywhere. It was so cool. Yet, one question remained. What happened to their world?